You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
All right, welcome back. We've got Potomac Research's Greg Valier with us to discuss the career paths of Hillary Clinton, Paul Ryan, and Jeb Bush. So, Greg, let's start with the easy one. Paul Ryan, did he kill his chances of running in 2016 with the budget outline he released that cut popular programs? I mean, what do you think?
Well, one of the ironies in this town is if you have the courage to come up with a proposal to solve problems, it immediately becomes a target. So Ryan's proposal is now
a bullseye, a bullseye on your back, as it were.
Exactly, Andy. So I think, you know, Ryan has the courage of his convictions. He's got some controversial proposals. Ironically, Sarah Palin and the Tea Party want him to do even more. But right. I think that Ryan is looking forward to becoming chairman of the Ways and Means Committee next year. He's probably going to get that job, and he'll start working on tax reform. He's still incredibly young. He's like 44 years old, so he has a long way to go. He doesn't have to run for president in 2016. He's got three kids who are, you know, like 15, 13, and 11. And my hunch is that he might prefer to stay at the Ways and Means Committee for a while before eventually running.
Yeah, I think so as well. I don't think he is really presidential material right now. I would have liked to have seen him been more pugnacious with Joe Biden, especially. I know if it was me mm-hmm. sitting next to Joe Biden and he was, you know, mocking me with his smiles as much, I would have broken one of his teeth, I think. But that's just me. So Paul Ryan was, you know, he was wonderful, but he was so wonky during those interviews. He just didn't come across as a presidential type material. So I think you're right. And plus, as we all know, he's amazing when it comes to the budget, and therefore he knows where all the bodies are buried when it comes to tax reform. I guess my question to you is, do you think he has, I mean, yes, he has the capabilities of pushing, you know, helping tax reform along, but you're really going to need to see a unified Congress for that to happen, right?
Well, that's right. And you know, the big problem is this, and we saw it when he ran with Romney a couple of years ago. He has complex solutions to very complex problems. You cannot do his solutions on a bumper sticker. These are things you have to explain to people. His health care plan, you have to explain to people. Entitlement reform, you have to explain to people. And unfortunately for him, many of his proposals are easy to demagogue. So I would agree with you. I think he's probably not ready. He can wait. There's a lot of other people who might be in line ahead of him for 2016.
Well, let's talk about one of those guys that's in line, perhaps, if he can be dragged into it. I think he's going to be dragged in kicking and screaming, but that would be Jeb Bush. I mean, this week you wrote about how his dad has seen a resurgence in his popularity. Now, how does that play into Jeb Bush's thinking about running in 2016?
Well, first of all, the establishment in the Republican Party, the Karl Rove types, are aghast that Rand Paul might be the favorite right now. They feel, they tell you privately, they worry that Rand Paul couldn't win more than 15 states. So the establishment thought they had an ideal candidate in the state of New Jersey, and I think that the damage to Christie is irreversible, and I think there may be more to come. So he now is somewhat tarnished, and the establishment, it clearly wants Jeb Bush. They're begging him to run. Bush was a very good governor. He's a good politician. He could raise a lot of money in a hurry. There is that problem with his last name. And I think you hit on a really good point, Andy, and that is, you know, the Bush name is been rehabilitated. Bush the Elder is having a reunion this weekend. His numbers are really high in terms of Gallup popularity. And even George W. Is looking better. He's painting, and he's I've seen a couple of interviews where he looks very likable. So I think if Jeb feels the Bush name has been rehabilitated, that's going to be a big factor in his decision.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with W., I mean, he was seen as quite the cowboy foreign policy-wise, and there's a lot of people who disagreed clearly with his initiatives in the Middle East and in Afghanistan. That aside, I think where people are starting to look differently at George Bush is saying, well, would have Ukraine ever happened under George W. Bush? And the answer is probably no. It may have, but there would have been a different feel to this than allowing that to happen. And certainly, you know, Obama's got a lot of problems on the foreign policy side of things. I mean, Syria, Ukraine, obviously Afghanistan with the election and so on. But the bottom line is this, is that I think when you're the president, you need to project power. You need to project strength. And I've always felt that while the president had a lot of things going for him in his first 2 years of office, he has done everything but to extend his power or project that power. And specifically going on like comedy shows, it just I just don't know how you take the president as seriously as somebody would have taken George Bush. I mean, I know I'll get criticized for that, but I think from a foreign policy standpoint, military might is something that you want to project but never have to use, right?
Let me push back a little bit on what you said.
Okay.
I think that, you know, Bush and Cheney led the country into a disastrous war. There were no weapons of mass destruction. And the public still is scarred, still is haunted by
true.
That war. So I have to maybe disagree that we want someone who is quite that masculine with all the testosterone of Bush and Cheney. The big problem, I think, for Jeb is that, gag me, are we going to have Jeb against Hillary? I mean, is that much of a choice? Elections are supposed to be about the future. And to have Jeb, another Bush-Clinton race, to me, for an awful lot of younger voters who like Rand Paul, who want to go in a different direction, that's a pretty depressing choice.
Yeah, that and great point. Not that, you know, I don't agree with everything you said, but I think that's a great point about people being scarred about the use of military force and the preconditions that led to that, for sure. I totally agree with that. Well, speaking of which, you mentioned Hillary Clinton.
Right.
You made a pretty bold call this week, and you said that if she was the nominee and if she was president, that she would be most welcome by Wall Street. Why don't you explain that one?
Sure. let me just point out that after Newt Gingrich took the House, 2 years into Bill Clinton's presidency, we saw probably the greatest bull market ever. The stock market was up about 150%. GDP
right.
grew by 3.8%. We had 2 years of budget surpluses. Now, I'm not saying that would repeat itself with Hillary, but the markets did very well with that kind of gridlock with a Republican Congress and a Clinton in the White House. Moreover, Andy, I would point out that she is far more moderate on most issues than Barack Obama. And of course, with Bill Clinton, we got welfare reform, we got NAFTA, free trade, and I think she would also pursue a very moderate agenda. Final point is that the big knock on her among the left in the Democratic Party is that she's a crony capitalist. That, oh my God, she talks to people on Wall Street like Bob Rubin. I don't think that's all that bad if she talks to people in the markets who tell her what's good for the economy. So I would say that, you know, the markets could live with her a heck of a lot better than they've lived with Obama, and you know, stocks have done pretty well under Obama.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, obviously the Federal Reserve had a lot to do with that. So, but point well taken. All right, so if she's the front runner, who do you think is going to challenge her from the Democrats?
Well, you know, Biden will be almost 74, and I think that that's kind of a stretch. He'd like to run, but I can't really see that. The only Democrat who really excites the base, just as Ted Cruz and Rand Paul excite the Republican base, is Elizabeth Warren. I don't think she's electable, but
what?
If she ran...
You're kidding me. Elizabeth Warren? No way.
No.
Really?
The base loves her. And very analogous, I think, to Ted Cruz. Not electable to be president, but the base would get excited. No, the issue is this, Andy. If she decides not to run, let's say for health reasons, or she just has other priorities and decides not to run, the Democrats have a pretty weak bench right now. Is it Andrew Cuomo? Is it Mark Warner? I mean, there aren't a lot of big names that they have other than Biden, who, again, would be almost 74, and he's been known to make a gaffe or two.
Right. Maybe one or two. Yeah, I would go with like Maryland Governor O'Malley. You mentioned Andrew Cuomo, obviously Virginia Senator. So Warner, I think those are pretty good ones to take a look at. I think that's interesting. Your point that she made, or the point that you made, and we just got a minute just to wrap this. What are your thoughts that if she doesn't run, would that pull Mitt Romney back out and into the race?
You hear talk about who could get 270 votes, and some Republicans say Romney, some say Condi Rice. There's been a little hype about her in the last couple of weeks. But I think this is a Republican Party that is so conservative that they want something different. And a Northeast moderate, like, you know, President Giuliani, President Romney, President Chris Christie, it just isn't going to work with that party. I think the party needs to get somebody with some fire in their belly who can appeal to the base.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. All right, Greg, this has been awesome. I'd love to get you back on to start every month so we can stay on top of all the political news. Thanks for coming on today.
It's been great fun.
All right, we'll let you go. And when we get back, we'll have Jim Glassman on from J.P. Morgan on to discuss the U.S. economy, Fed policy, and jobs. You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be right back.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The way we do banking today continues to evolve. No longer is it just brick and mortar locations or traditional banker's hours. Today, banking is 24/7. It's in the home. It's on the go. It's digital. Tune in to Breaking Banks with Brett King for a look at how traditional banking as we know it has changed due to a loss of trust, changing economic conditions and consumer behavior, government involvement, and of course, technology. What does it all mean? Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.